This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for your name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Fletcher Cox, retired. Jason Kelce, retired. DeAndre Swift, Chicago Bears. They're all, I mean, they're just heading for the airport. I mean, it's just sad to say. Oh, well. Okay, so Chris Sims put out his NFL draft rankings of quarterback prospects. So who does he have number one? I'll let you.
Caleb Williams.
Absolutely. Who does he have number two?
I think if you're, by your tone, I'm going to say J.J. McCarthy.
Nope, Jaden Daniels of LSU, the Heisman Trophy winner. Okay. So he's got one in Tier 1, that's just Williams. One in Tier 2, that's just Daniels. He's got three quarterbacks in Tier 3. Number 3, his number 3 quarterback is Bo Nix of Oregon. His number 4 is Michael Penix of Washington. His number 5 is J.J. McCarthy of Michigan. In Tier 4, he's got Drake May of North Carolina.
Oh, okay, he's the one that is not particularly fond of Drake May. I did see this list.
Yeah.
Like, something about his feet.
I don't know. I mean, look, I haven't watched him close enough to, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not going to sit there and tell you I'm an. I mean, I've seen Drake May play. I liked a lot of things about him, but I don't sit there and go, what are his feet like? I just watch the game. All right? You know, some guys I've seen more than others. Believe it or not, Daniels I saw some of this year. Nix I saw a lot. Penix I saw a lot. Obviously, I saw McCarthy in person and watched a lot of tape going in. Caleb Williams, I did see a lot. Daniels, some. And May, the least of the six. Because I'm not sitting there going, I mean, North Carolina football, with all due respect, is not appointment television. Like, whenever I watched, it was like, okay, let's see how he plays. But I'm not sitting there and going, okay, what's his footwork like, things like that. I'm not breaking down a tape. I know we're kind of a weird talk show. We actually try to do these things honestly instead of making it up. Oh, his footwork is what about you? Yeah, but you watch the tape. What are you talking about? I always love that. You didn't even watch the tape. Come on. All right. Now, you bring on an expert, they have watched the tape. You know, somebody does it for a living, yeah, they have watched the tape. But somebody who's sitting in one of these chairs, I watched the tape. Oh, yeah, sure you did. Okay. Yeah, when was that? So there you go. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Very interesting. This, by the way, is the legal tampering period. I always love that expression. It's legal tampering. Like, tampering, like, sounds bad, but this is legal tampering, so it's good. And Pollard's going to leave the Cowboys, right, Tony Pollard? And he is going on a 3-year deal to the Tennessee Titans.
I chuckled before we went on the air. I think it was the last segment of the Dan Patrick Show was talking about Troy Pollard was probably definitely going back to the Cowboys. They had heard as I was reading the tweet that said he signed with the Titans.
Yeah, that doesn't help. And then Christian Wilkins, who I think has been playing really well for the Dolphins, 5 years there, he signed a 4-year deal with the Raiders. Yeah.
I bet that makes Max Crosby happy.
Hey, gives him another guy. And Mac, you know what? Max Crosby does not take himself out of games. Right? He's the anti-Bosa. people think I'm kidding about that. How many times have you seen the fourth or like big drive? He's on the sideline. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's winning time. Get your butt out there. Fight through it. I don't care what you're doing. God, you're making enough money. Get out there and play. I always love that stuff. Like, and it may be like 7-8 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. Why is he on the sideline? Oh, we have to keep him fresh. Fresh for what? It's winning time. Come on. Let's see. So, bad day for Matt, right? I mean, it's like a revolving door in Philadelphia. They're off. I mean, it's mostly going one direction. Yeah, they got Landon Dickerson. But, like, for Matt, no Fletcher Cox gone. Kelsey gone. Swift gone. Right? And then Cole's going to get an MRI in his elbow. He's feeling discomfort. I mean, this could be a great Matt Catrillo segment tomorrow. When I land and set up, I expect to have my ears bleeding.
If Garrett Cole's MRI is not good, you might not need the headset. You might be able to hear him in Minneapolis.
It's discomfort. Ow.
Any kind of discomfort in the elbow for the pitcher, as you well know, usually leads to the TJ surgery. These MRIs never usually turn out good for pitchers, usually.
His recovery before getting to his next start has been more akin to what it feels like during the season, when he's making 100 pitches. When he's at 45 and building to 55, he usually doesn't have the recovery issues he's currently having.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I feel there's a level of discomfort, but I wouldn't describe it as pain. Okay. To Cole's credit, he's made at least 30 starts in each of his last 6 full seasons. And look, he pitches innings. I mean, he does. Let's give credit where credit is due.
There was a real interesting article, I think it was Friday or Thursday, on The Athletic from the orthopedic surgeon for the Rangers about pitcher injuries. I don't know if you saw it.
Did not.
You know, a lot of it is you know, a lot of the theory now with all the Tommy John surgery is, you know, the velocity throwing 100 miles an hour is not
sure.
Not good for the arm. But his theory is the, well, they call it the sweeper now, but the horizontal break slider and the new changeup is throwing, you know, making all that rotation on the ball and all that pressure is what's causing it now is. And the example he used is, you know, his own Jacob DeGrom, who throws, and again, it's partly velocity, but he throws a slider harder than anybody, and to get the RPMs on the ball like that is really causing his elbow problems.
Wow. Meanwhile, in other news, Yankee center fielder Aaron Judge is not expected to play again until later in the week due to spring training fatigue. Really? I know it's just spring training. I got it because Kevin Kugler, Jess Settles, and I were laughing about this yesterday, about like watching guys shoot in shoot around. I said, you can go 0-for-20 and shoot around. You go 2-for-4 to start the game, you're at 50%. I said, yeah. it's like spring training. He's 13-for-27 in spring training. Oh, on opening day, 0-for-4, your batting average is 0. But spring training fatigue. Never have heard of that before. What the heck? He's out for stuff I never heard of.
Why would you even announce something like that? You're giving a guy 3 days off in the middle of the week of spring training. Why would you open it up to be made fun of for spring training fatigue?
That's right. And he has not taken batting practice the last couple of days. Was replaced after 2 at-bats against the Braves when he struck out twice. He has spring training fatigue. You can't make this stuff up.
I have spring training fatigue, but that's because it's cold.
See, now this is like your approach is exactly the right approach. Hey, you know, it's spring training. We always like to give guys a couple days off in spring training just to keep them fresh. That's all you got to say. Nope, not them. Threw them under the bus. Spring training fatigue. Okay.
He's like in his 10th year in the major leagues. If he wants to take 2 days to go play golf in Florida right now, go let him.
Well, no, he can't play golf. He's got spring training fatigue. Yeah,
that might be what the fatigue is. He wants to go play golf.
Oh, goodness gracious. Ay. We can't make this stuff up. And we try to, but we can't. I mean, there's a group of writers that if they sat in the room for the several days, couldn't come up with a couple of the things that you and I end up reading. Like, really? Wow. Okay. All right. Now, college basketball today. Sun Belt Championship, James Madison, Arkansas State. That is at 7. That's on ESPN. The Southern Conference, the SoCon Championship, is on ESPN2 at 7. It's East Tennessee and Samford. Then it's the West Coast Conference semifinals tonight on ESPN. That really is a terrific tournament from the Orleans and Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. I've done a couple games there. It's fine. It's not bad. Santa Clara, St. Mary's, and San Francisco and Gonzaga. Santa Clara has the fewest wins of the group at 20. St. Mary's is 24-7, San Francisco's 23-9, and Gonzaga's 24-6. So that's where you are with that, with conference tournaments tonight that are being televised.
Did you see the Georgetown women play UConn tonight, and it's the first time the Georgetown women have made a Big East championship game, and I just bring that up because that's where Kelly Mazzanti is an assistant coach now.
You know, I think the world of Kelly. I do. That's not going to go well.
Probably not.
But I think the world of her. And it is a Big East tournament final. And by the way, if you'd like to watch it, it's on Fox Sports 1 tonight. Okay? That's on FS1 tonight. UConn, by the way, is ranked 10th in the country. So, but hey, you know what? You don't know. That's why you start 0-0. That's why I tell my broadcasting class all the time. You treat every game. I can sit in this chair and say, it's UConn playing in stores. Okay. All right. But you know what? I tell them. In fact, that's not in stores tonight. That's in Mohegan Sun down in the southeast corner of the state in Uncasville, where the casino is. And by the way, give Georgetown credit. 9-9 this year in conference play. They went 22-10. I mean, Kelly's team is, they've done a terrific job. They're 22-10, 9, and ended up 9-9 in the regular season. They've won 3 games to get to this point. So they're 12-9 in conference, 22-10 overall. Last 5 games, Kelly's team at Georgetown, they have won against Butler by 7, won at Xavier by 20, then beat Xavier again in the opening round of the tournament by 22, beat St. John's in the next round by 9, and then beat Creighton in the semifinals by 9. They've been doing great. But this is a big, big order tonight down at Mohegan Sun against UConn. But you know what? I tell my students all the time, when you're doing a game, every game starts exactly the same. There's no score up there. It's a blank sheet, and it's your job with words to paint the picture over the next couple of hours in describing what's going on, and then suddenly see how the picture comes out. And every game is different. They all have a different personality. No two games are really exactly alike. There may be a formula that ends up falling into place, that if you do this, this, and this, that's part of your success as a team, but they're all different. They're all different. And that's something that, you know, sometimes people don't know. Or take for granted. I think people that don't do what we do for in business take that part for granted, that they're all different. It is very easy to sit there and make a lot of assumptions going into a game because you're allowed to. You as a fan are absolutely allowed to make all the assumptions you want. Really. That's part of the fun of being a fan. And I think it's great. I think that's great. You can make all the assumptions you want about a game going in and so forth. But when you're doing it for a living, this is why I try to tell them, when you're doing it for a living, every game starts nothing-nothing, and let's see how it fills in as the day goes. Now, it's not like you're not sitting there looking for things. For example, looking at certain things. For example, Penn State, Maryland. Now, Penn State won the game by 16. But Maryland had one of the more bizarre stats I have ever seen in my career. Their record in games decided by 5 points or less. 1-10. I have never seen that. Oh, I've seen teams go like 1-3, 1-2, 1-4, maybe 1-5. I've never seen a team 1-10 in five games decided by 5 points or less. You know, what do you do with the big three? Reese, Scott, Young. This is the preparation you do. They make up 70%, slightly better than 70% of all the points that Maryland scored in Big Ten play. All right, so you incorporate that. They're a low possession team, so you incorporate that into the broadcast. But the bottom line is, it's still a blank sheet when you start, and then we'll see how it plays out. So it's not like you don't prepare for a thing. You prepare for a lot of things. Right? You prepare for things where you're trying to inform the audience as much as possible, and a bunch of them, most fans don't know. That's what part of your job, right? You know. Let's face it, you have a job. You get around to the game after your job. So my job is like, okay, what's this? Your job is to do your job, and they go, okay, what? Oh, really? They're 1-10 in games decided by 5? Oh, really? Okay. Now, Penn State won by 16, so it didn't matter. But, yeah. But that's part of the fun of being a fan. You can make a lot of assumptions. To me, that, you know, I'll be honest with you. I do that with my teams. What the heck's going on? What do you mean you didn't sign anybody? Yeah, it's like my brother brings up the Red Sox. I'm like, exactly. Why didn't you sign anybody? Come on. Right? I'm a fan like anybody else, but when it comes to my teams and I'm working, I'm like,
He's your proxy on that, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. That's all I'll say to him. Like, what? I said, what are you talking about? Hey, Stanton's hitting 150 in spring training. So nothing's really changed.
No.
Wow. Good for him. That's a lot of money. All right.
I feel like you're trying to guarantee a good Matt rant.
Oh.
Getting a little Stanton dig in there.
Again, it's spring training. He hit 420 in spring training. He went 0 for 4 in the opener and 0 for 4 in the second game of the season. He's batting zero. Okay. Okay. We'll take a break. Come back. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You should see the suit bob his head up and down to this while also waving his arms frantically. In the office, we call that normal. You wonder why he hates this show.
Honestly, I do not.
I hate this show. Actually, he loves this show. That's the thing that really is like, okay, really? And today's show, this half hour, brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, both individuals, athletes, and... he texts me, hate is a strong word. Opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. He texted, he says, hate is a strong word. But is it accurate? For a show he hates, he sure does listen to it all the time. I wonder if part of it's to find out what we're going to say next. What are they going to say next? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I shouldn't jinx anybody. We haven't used the dump button yet, so in months, so.
Well, when's the last time he was on? That's a good one.
When he thought he had the winning record in the bowl thing,
wasn't
it? Oh,
goodness gracious. He thought he won the bowl thing. He finished 500. He finished third, right?
I think.
Right? You won it. I finished second. Where was Kevin? My brother.
I think Kevin was below 500.
All right. So he finished third and is telling everybody you won. Really? Look, this isn't the NHL playoffs. Okay. Where everybody gets in. He finished 500. No, I didn't. I thought I was sitting there going, no, I've got all the picks right here. He just texted me. He says, I was robbed.
We're going to have to put him on the website next year.
Oh, that is such a good idea, Todd. See, you are such a forward thinker. I love it.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. With great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. By the way, one quick note. Kirk Cousins has signed a four-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. Wife, by the way, is from Atlanta, so... And he does spend a lot of his offseason there. All right. Let's bring in somebody who celebrated a huge birthday yesterday and when it was serenaded by the crowd, may have been muted in some areas, blushed. Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Bauer.
Oh, boy. How do I handle that?
I don't think you do.
I don't.
Okay. Tournament comes up. Penn State finishes in a tie for ninth. Through tiebreakers, they end up 11. They get Michigan opening round. Just your thoughts on the bracket and how it broke.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, as well as it could have, given the circumstances, right? I mean, if they finish eighth, it's a lot harder to get wins, and they need wins right now, right? So, I mean, I think we're talking about Van IT as still being in play, long shot for sure, but not necessarily impossible. And by having an extra gate, right? So, preferably for all these teams, you would like to finish where you have a Thursday game instead of a Wednesday game. But by having a Wednesday game against a team in Michigan that Penn State has beaten before, with the winner playing Indiana, who Penn State has beaten twice this season, and the winner of that game playing Nebraska, who is, you know, a little hot and cold, specifically away from their home court, you know, Penn State's got to be pretty happy, honestly. I think certainly it is now a situation for Penn State where, look, they're 15 and 16 overall for the season. They are 9 and 11 in the Big Ten. If you can even it up, right, get to 500 with a win on Wednesday night, get a win maybe the next night, right, on Thursday. you see where the chips fall, right? I mean, if you're 500 at the end of all of this with a decent, right, 11 wins against Big Ten competition, which is where they would be if they got to Friday, you know, you could probably make a pretty good case that Penn State belongs in that postseason tournament.
All right, so now let's get where the team is right now. What do you see in Penn State now compared to about a month ago?
Yeah, that's a great question.
We try only to ask good ones. We only try to ask good ones.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I can always count on you for those. I think certainly Ace is more consistent, right? That stands out to me, right? Is there, you had, whether anybody was willing to talk about it or speak openly about it or not, it didn't really change the reality that Ace Baldwin and Kanye Clary were overlapping, right? There was some redundancy there. And it ended up, I think, hurting both players to a certain extent. The ball is in Ace's hands all the time now. He is leading the show. They had, right, I don't think it's a coincidence that their second most assists of the season happened last night, right? He shared the ball. He's distributing. You know, they're making some three-pointers. Certainly last night wasn't the best example of that. They hit 30% last night, but it ended up being, to me, the story of the game, right? They made two in the first half. They made four in the second. And in the second half, it was a Raekwon Mitchell three-pointer that kind of set off the string that allowed them to take, what was it, Steve, a five-point lead maybe and turn it into 15.
Yeah, a five-point lead. And that's the one that went around so many times that the crowd, instead of being excited, seemed to be relieved.
yeah, just make a decision, right? So yeah, it is certainly a, like, I don't want to overreact to a win, because this is a team that just lost the prior two, won in devastating fashion, right? Puff Johnson spoke to the media today and acknowledged, he was like, it felt like we were up by 30, is what he said, in that Minnesota game, and they lost it, and it was a deflating experience to come out of that game, you know, but. They keep going. I mean, that's that, like, of anything that I'm going to draw from this season with this team, is there have been lots and lots of opportunities for these guys to pack it in, right? And you would not have blamed them. Certainly, you know, it would have been disappointing to Penn State fans, but just the bringing in so many different new faces, you've got competing agendas. It's like that's reality. That's the reality of a college basketball locker room. And for those guys to, you know, and obviously led by Mike Rhodes, for those guys to stick it out and continue to keep competing and keep playing hard and, you know, put themselves in the position that they're in now, you know, I think it speaks very highly of what they've been able to do this season.
Well, I'll talk about the Ace-Kanye dynamic for a moment. I mean, I'm not afraid to talk about this stuff. I mean, I'll tell you exactly what I said openly on the broadcast. I mean, I've had the privilege of watching some really good college point guards on opposing teams and really good ones at Penn State. I mean, so I've seen both. I mean, look, Danny Earle was terrific. Taylor Battle, Joe Crispin, Freddie Barnes that nobody ever talks about, Tommy Wilkinson, all the way back to the current guys, the way they played. All right, and it's the, and Jalen Pickett, obviously. Ace has the ability, not perfect, but most of the time, like the other really good ones here, to read the room. And that was always my criticism of Kanye Clary, and I said it on the broadcast several times. Dick, he's got to be able to read the room better. When Ace is out there, he reads the room. He understands who's hot, who's not, where to go, where not to go.
Yep, and to be fair, and this is I don't know the shame of it. What, you know, like, I don't know what the right descriptor is, but Kanye did read the room in the first month of the season when everybody else was bad. Right, mm-hmm. There was a lot of bad basketball, and there were some moments where he needed to put that team on his back, and he did. However, right. It didn't stay that way, right? Like some of those other guys needed opportunities. Puff, Zach Hicks, they needed opportunities to get themselves out of some of the funks that they were in. And Ace, let's be blunt about this, is a much more willing teammate, right? He is a much more willing distributor of the basketball. The ball doesn't stick in his hands the way that it does with Kanye. And you know, for Kanye's sake, hopefully he finds a spot.
I hope so, too, because he's very good when he knows he's the number one option out there. It's just when there are other options out there, that's the reading the room part. You have to understand what's the best option. And maybe maturity, whatever, was not there yet. But when he's the number one option, he knows it.
Yep. And look, there is a reality that when Penn State started to play better in his absence during the concussion injury, his recovery time from that, That's when Hicks started to go. That's when some of these other guys started to assert themselves a little bit and had some of that success. It's interesting because last night I think about Ace's game, and I actually thought his shot selection wasn't great at times. And you know, he could always quibble, but of the season, just offhand, I wouldn't put it as one of his even top half of the year. His shooting selection, however, he had 11 assists. Right? Like, I mean, if you've got 11 assists and he's got 5 rebounds, right? I mean, that you can. There are ways that he can help that end up. Right, manifesting themselves, and you see it with, like, when Mike Rhodes said it after the game, he said, you know, they're playing the right way, the ball gets hot, you've got 18 assists on 30 made baskets, that's right. He likes that. That's the style that Mike Rhodes wants to have, and certainly I think they're hoping that they can continue that this week.
Well, but every coach wants that. Every coach wants a high assist. That means, and I'll tell you the part that doesn't get talked about, and because I don't know how deep a dive this would be, but the number of hockey assists that happen, second assist that leads to an assist that leads to a basket. I mean, every coach loves that because you're making other people move and you're getting the best shot.
Yep. Yeah, and to be honest with you, I will give, because I'm reflecting on it now, but I will give Mike Rhodes a bunch of credit for, I asked him in maybe late November, early December, something about assists on made baskets, right? Whether or not that was a ratio he was comfortable with, because it was a vast departure. Even then, it was a vast departure from what he had at VCU. And he really swallowed it, honestly. He said, look, when you got guys like Ace and Kanye specifically that can put guys in a blender and get you buckets off the dribble by themselves that they can create for themselves, and obviously he was speaking primarily about Kanye, right? He was publicly willing to take a brand of basketball that wasn't what he prefers, right? Like that wasn't what he gravitates towards. But obviously now that they have resolved that situation and they are the team that they are and they've developed, this is certainly his preference.
And I will slip this in before we continue on. Saquon Barkley has signed a 3-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
So, oh boy,
$37.5 million.
I bet I know what jersey we're going to see walking around State College next year.
Yep, got a funny feeling. Yeah, all those people are going to rip all those Sanders plates off of 26s and put on. Okay,
there we go.
Yeah. Now they get to the tournament. Kudus Wahab, one final season. What did you see from day one to what you saw in the last month of the season from him that really impressed you?
Yeah, it's funny. before the season, right, over the summer when he decided to sign on at Penn State, I had some friends who had watched it, right, much more aware of him in his time at Georgetown and Maryland. And, you know, basically the rap was this kid is a black hole, right? So he will do some things for you, but when the ball gets to him in the paint, it ain't coming out. And that has changed. That is, right? That has changed. He is a more willing passer. He had 2 assists last night. Right? 19 points led the team in scoring. But I just think that the ball doesn't stick with him as much as it had before at the beginning of the season. The shot blocking component that he's added to his game, and maybe it was there before, but certainly it's different now. I thought.
Yeah, not really. Because you remember, because I did games when he was at Georgetown. I did games with Maryland. So it wasn't the first Q games I've ever done in my career, because I did it at both spots before. And you're right, the ball stuck. It went in, it didn't come back out. He come out to the high post and get the ball. You're like, okay, well, he's not going to do that here. And here's the part, Nate, that really impressed me. How much he has to run on the defensive end when they do blitz and then return and gets himself in position defensively. He is so much better at that now than he was 6 months ago. It's stunning.
Yep. And there is a willingness there, right? That is a big part of that story is, look, 23-year-old guys, 22-year-old guys, right, who have been through it and have done this, there's some stubbornness involved. Right?
Yeah,
like,
sure
I've been doing this.
You've developed your habits. You've developed your habits, and that's your habit.
Yep. And so he has evolved in his time at Penn State. And he has been willing to. He said it last night. He spoke after the game that, right, a lot of what he talked about was crediting Rhodes, and certainly Brent Scott is a big part of that. Of absorbing what they were trying to have him do. This is. I mean, it's kind of the underlying story of this season for this basketball team is forget just the moments where they could have packed it in, but I'm saying just in general, it is easy to buy into a vision of what you can be, right? And when things are going well, That's great, right? It is easy to gravitate towards that and want those things. But ad-libbing, right, and taking off and doing your own thing is much easier and is much more you want to do those. Like, you want to take things into your own hands, help the team win if you're not winning. And so at those moments where this team hasn't been winning, it very much could have just gone in that direction of individuals making individual plays and really rejecting or shunning kind of what they wanted to do systemically from Mike Rhodes and his coaching staff. But here they are at the end of the season, and they're still bought in, right? They feel good, and they have a moment here where maybe there's an opportunity to build a little momentum going into the offseason.
I didn't want to take you away. I apologize from all the presents you were opening, so I'm going to let you get back to that.
I can tell you this. You're not taking me away from the golf course because it's about 75-mile-an-hour winds outside right now.
No, I played twice last week. Yeah, I did.
I mean, I don't want to acknowledge this, but I may have too.
Yeah. No, I freely acknowledge it.
Yeah. We got more this week. Wednesday, Thursday, shaping up. Love it.
Somebody else is working Wednesday, Thursday in a different location than here. So,
you know what? Sorry, Steve, that's not my problem.
Oh, I didn't call it a problem. I just mentioned as a matter of fact about that.
Sure.
My friend, thanks so much. Appreciate you, as always.
Thanks a lot for having me, as always. Thanks.
NateBauerOn3.com, Blue White Illustrated, and we will come back, wrap it up in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. All right. Tomorrow, off the plane and into the hotel and on the show. So there you go. Get rolling and...
Sounds like a nice, calm morning, Steve.
You know what? It's what I do. You know, I don't think twice about it. You know, I really don't think twice about it. It's something that's become commonplace for me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I always love people in this business, in our business. Oh, I got to do this and this thing. You're doing sports, pal. You're not running a jackhammer when it's 12 below zero. Okay? Have fun with it. And that's something I emphasize to the class all the time. Every project I tell them, in the end, have fun with it. Okay? In the end, have fun with it. It's sports. I did not send you out to Gaza to cover the war. Okay? You're doing sports. Oh, are there serious things in sports we need to talk about? Yes. No question. And we do. I said, but in the end, sports. Sports is supposed to be fun.
I was going to say, it's supposed to be an escape.
That, and we get to do that for a living. So who cares if we got to get on a plane, get off the plane, and do the show? I'm just saying that's what we're doing tomorrow. That's all I'm saying. That's what we're doing. Okay? Pretty simple. Well, that way it explains to you when people are listening, oh, okay, he's not here, because it has a little different sound to it, right?
It does, yes.
Yeah, so that when people hear it, that's the reason why.